Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 25, episode 3 of
Der Daily Zeitgeist.
Yeah.
For April 4th, 2018, my name is Jack O'Brien, aka Jack O'Buttstuff. That one is courtesy of at super producer Anna Hosnier every day in the office.
Great working relationship.
Yeah. And I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
Oh, get down here. Theo, yes, it's your boy Theo Cuxtable. That comes from Billy G on Instagram. Great caricature artist who, I'll show the picture that he sent of me earlier. But shout out to Billy G for that wild AKA.
Great caricature artist.
Yeah, great artist.
I didn't know those existed.
Oh, yeah, look, that's me.
Oh, look at that. Yeah.
He captured
that's
my.
That's pretty good.
Oh,
he's just a good artist.
Is that you?
Yeah, that's me.
And we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by the hilarious comedian Brody Reed.
That's right, it's me. It's back. I'm returning.
There he is.
It's me. It's back.
I'm trying to match you guys' energy.
Yeah, yeah. No, you got it. Brody, what's good, Brody?
Oh, hey guys, it's me.
R33D, Brody Reed.
Brody, what is something from your search history that is revealing about who you are?
I recently searched yesterday AgroCrags.
Yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
You guys from Guts. Mm-hmm.
I like that there's a plural there. Multiple aggro crags.
Yeah, I'm trying to see how many are out there existing in the world.
I can get your hands on one.
Yeah, I'm trying to get my hands on one. I really want an aggro crag trophy. I don't have any trophies, but I'm going to get a trophy case, and I'm going to put just the aggro crag in it.
That would be a great idea.
Yo, millennial trophy case, that one, and then something from like Legend of the Hidden Temple.
Yeah, seriously, like a little monkey or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. Blue Bear Kudos for life. Shout out to y'all.
Okay.
I'm a crip.
All right. Okay, cool.
Okay, I'm not like a crip. Don't hit me up.
I feel like we maybe talked about this last time, but I am an Iron Monkey. I just want to put that.
Oh, wait. No, this is feeling familiar because yeah, I felt like, familiar. Yeah, it's been a while since I've been able to stretch my Nickelodeon athletic game show competition wings with a guest.
Word.
But everyone knows the GOAT of Global Guts, when they went global with it, was Rami from Israel, who had the perfect score on the aggro crag.
But the aggro crag was a synthetic mountain that they had to climb up at the end of the show as sort of their final physical challenge.
Yeah.
And
it shot debris and I want to say ghost clouds trapped in the mountain.
Yeah. All kinds of weird shit.
Brody, what is something that is underrated?
I think something that's underrated is something that my mom gave me recently, which is the kind of key ring thing that attaches to the back of your phone.
I was just
Anna got one of those. What's that called? Phone popper?
Yeah. Mine's a little different. Mine looks like it's gonna pop a tab on an aluminum can, and yours looks like
a pin on a grenade.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah. It's stupid, but it's great, and you know it holds my phone like a tiny little movie screen.
Yeah.
It's very cool.
See, I have just sort of inhumanely gigantic legs, so whenever I put a phone in my pocket, it's just like an outline of it, and I feel like if I add another thing to the thickness of my phone, I'll cut off circulation to my leg and I'll die.
I hear you. I started putting my phone in the front pocket.
That's your privilege with your slender legs.
What do you ever wear? It looks like a thumb ring.
I constantly
looks like a thumb ring, which is problematic.
Wearing my phone as a ring.
Right. But it almost looks like it's designed so you can like punch someone with your phone
a little bit. Oh, okay.
I don't suggest
that. All right, outsiders.
Yeah.
You probably would break your finger, but I mean like.
It is very cool.
I'll attack people with anything, and they know that.
I don't need this key ring on my phone.
That is the scouting report on you, especially before you came in today.
Yeah, when you look at the dossier.
Just keep in mind.
Strength
will attack people with anything.
Improvised attacks.
Thank you.
Anyone with anything. But it does look like a phone case with a little pop tab on the back. And
yeah, you just glue it to the back.
I am definitely going to buy one. Oh, you glue it to the back?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
You have to glue it? It's not temporary?
It's sticky.
God. Can I commit to that? I don't know, guys.
I don't know.
Ooh, it seems like a slippery slope.
I think it can.
Next Brody Reed, what is something that is overrated?
You guys talked about this fucking Roseanne reboot yet?
Mm-hmm. Oh, no. What's that? Yes. Briefly, yeah.
Yeah, I feel like that's overrated. There's a lot of comedians in my timeline who most of them are just like, I'm not going to give a chance because I don't know if you guys know. You guys know. She's crazy.
She's going to be our first subject today.
Yeah.
Oh, sick. Is it? Should I stop?
No, go ahead. Okay, will merely underline what you're saying.
Yeah, I have a lot of people who are, not a lot of people, but I have enough people in my timeline who are just like, it's funny, you know? I'm not giving, you know, I'm not a MAGA because I'm giving it a chance. I'm like, aren't you?
Right. How many comedians of color have said,
oh, hey, zero. It's dope. Absolutely zero.
That's why I think the audience is clear on that. Yeah. When I think if you are a person of color, it's a little more uncomfortable for you to just hop on board with something like that.
Yeah.
Especially considering what, you know, this president stands for.
Yeah, I'm not giving both sides a chance when she has, like, photo shoots where she dresses up as Hitler and puts gingerbread cookies in the oven.
Yeah, burnt cookies, pulling human forms out of an oven.
Gingerbread cookies.
Right.
And apparently, so the new episode that went up last night and scored 15 million viewers,
oh my gosh,
mocked ABC's Black and Asian shows.
No,
at one point.
Wait, serious?
That's apparently one of the jokes.
Man, you know what? We're going to have to watch it because I can't keep speculating that I'm going to hate it. Like, I need to watch it so I can come back and full-throated be like, this is bullshit.
Yeah, seriously.
This is according to Roger Friedman's Showbiz 411.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, cool. Take it.
I'm still in 201, so I haven't listened to that.
Well, it's a little advanced for some of us. Yeah, right. Is the show, because the other thing, too, I've been seeing from comedians, there are some comedians who are kind of like also kind of throwing shade at the people who write on it, and they're like, yo, what are you doing over there?
That's exactly what I would say. I mean, I get it. We're poor, and we all need the money, but I mean, like if, who's a bad person? I don't know if Louis C.K. was like, hey, do you want to write a thing for me? I'd be like, fuck you.
Yeah, they're not good for my brand.
I don't know what I'm doing. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, we'll see, basically, because, you know, Roseanne, granted, yes, the take that everyone has had is like, finally, a show for white people.
Yes.
That's why it works. The real white people, not the imaginary white people that we've been inundated with through the media our entire lives. And
it is
you
great
know,
that white people finally have a voice.
Yeah, that's my thing, of course. Yeah. And I'm glad and I'm happy for y'all, because, look, we had Black Panther, and y'all have this new Roseanne reboot, so it's all good. It's all love. But I think it's important to, like, also understand, like, the reason why a lot of people are put off is precisely where she is on the spectrum of sort of right-wing thinking.
Yeah.
And we will bring in an expert, Jared Holt of Right Wing Watch, who's an expert in all things crazy cool. right-wing, to really talk about some of her things, amongst other things. But anyway, yes.
One of her pet theories.
Yes.
Cool. Let's play the clip.
Brody, what is something, what's a myth? What's something people believe?
I don't want to flip the script on you guys. I actually want your guys' help debunking something that I've seen before. This isn't so much a myth, but like this is something that from like my childhood that I cannot explain, and I've like Googled it, and
it's Berenstain Bears. Berenstain Bears.
Okay, well, that clears it.
Okay, great.
Okay. So when I was in elementary school, it doesn't matter when. When I was in elementary school, I went to this big elementary school that had like it was big, wide open outside area, and one day there was this one day inexplicably there was like this like I'm trying to explain in a way that doesn't sound crazy. There was like this hole that opened up in the sky. There was this, okay, so you know how like a regular sky, like the whole sky's blue, right?
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
Okay, cool.
I'm feeling you.
There was like a almost perfectly round black hole that had just like appeared in the sky one day.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't like an object. It was as if, the part of the atmosphere that like makes you see like
blue
the atmosphere as blue and everything, it was just like that was like punctured or something. And then we just saw
stars?
Like, no, we didn't see stars, but we did see like blackness. And it was, I think the hole was probably like the size of like a block, and it was like probably like a mile or two in the sky. And we were like kids, and like the whole school was just like, what the hell is this? It wasn't like in the news. We like tried to like Google it like years later. I think about it all the time.
and you weren't just listening to Black Sabbath, Hole in the Sky?
No, I didn't get into Black Sabbath years later when I was going to Hot Topic and stuff.
That's weird. I mean, even if I search, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know how to explain that. So this is something that has confounded you.
It's confounded me. And I don't really believe, I believe in aliens, but I don't believe that they've like traveled here or nothing. Like I don't believe in like extraterrestrials.
What?
Necessarily.
Okay, that's a little arrogant. We're the only motherfuckers out here.
I don't think we're the only motherfuckers out here. I just think that they're so far away that like, why would they even come here? And even if they did, they'd be like dead by the time they got here.
We acted like an alien is like an Angelino who like lives on the west side and is thinking about visiting their friend at Highland Park, and they're like,
honestly,
nah,
that's
I'm
a
good.
Great metaphor.
Yeah, they're like, bro, over to Highland
Park.
Nah.
Seriously, I gotta drive an hour to get to Earth, man.
Yeah, let me just get high and watch some Naruto.
Yeah, seriously. So if anyone has like any idea, tweet at me. Like, I am trying to solve this mystery for 20 years.
And this was a group hallucination experienced by all the kids in your school?
Yes. I know I'm not crazy because everyone saw this.
Where did you grow up? Yeah, where was this?
I grew up so this was in like Ladera. Okay. I grew up in
Los Angeles.
Yes, Ladera, Los Angeles. You know, not super far from the airport. I don't know if that'll influence any decision. Like, the only, I can't even think of what it would be like. A missile test or whatever. Like, I cannot think of what it was.
You looked up in the sky and it was black.
It was just like.
What year was it?
It was about like 2099, something
2000,
like that.
2000, okay.
Yeah.
So around the time Ja Rule.
Pre-9/11.
Ja Rule was really popping. Mm-hmm. Blackness in the sky. Could have been Ja Rule in a hot.
It could have been. It could have been Nelly. It could have been hot up there. Yeah. Who knows? The weather changed.
Some country grammar.
I really don't know.
I know that. When the big eclipse happened last year, that was supposed to be something that we were going to see, is that when the sun was blotted out or whatever, we would suddenly see the sky, like the stars around the sun, and it would almost be like the sky was night sky. That didn't happen to us, at least in Los Angeles.
Well, I mean, because I think that could have happened, Jack, because we looked with no protection and we just looked up at it and we're like, bro, we can't see anything.
Right.
Yeah, you can't ever see stars.
Still can't.
Here. All the stars are down here.
Right.
Thank you. In Hollywood, holla back.
So I don't know, man. That's really interesting.
Yeah. So sorry I give you guys a myth to bunk, but
no, I like that. See, this is new. You're experimenting with the form. So Zeitgang, I'm sure one of you out there is some kind of atmospheric science person.
Yes, please.
Because I see many of our Twitter followers like have very impressive Twitter bios. So come on, somebody help us,
please
solve this mystery.
All right. Well, yeah, I'm really excited to have you back on and find out what you learn from. The Zeitgang. all right. We're trying to take a sample of what people are thinking and talking about right now. And specifically, we want to talk about what Roseanne has been thinking and talking about over the past couple of days.
Yeah.
And so we are bringing on Jared Holt from Right Wing Watch. He is an expert in all things right wing. And on an earlier episode this week, we were talking about this theory that Roseanne had been tweeting about QAnon, right?
Who is apparently someone with Q-level secret clearance.
Who shows up on Trump forums and Trump Reddit threads.
Right, and mostly 4chan is where this person started and claims to be deep state or know what's really going on in the government. And people have basically been using this idea of someone who knows everything to hinge all of their conspiracy theories on. Suffice it to say that this is not, even amongst the alt-right, this is not a popular theory.
Right.
This is a very, very deep-cut sort of conspiracy theory that these people have. And it's something that, you know, Roseanne repeatedly will, like, be like, yo, QAnon, DM me. Like, let's get the truth out there. So, yes. I think it's important now for Jared, who's an expert, to at least walk us through this so we can understand a bit more sort of like the evolution of this theory.
Is the left-wing equivalent or I guess the non-right-wing equivalent, like what are we talking, like flat earth level or like believing in the smoking man?
I think Jared would be best to answer that.
I feel like flat earthers are non-partisan.
Right, that's true, that's
right,
true.
Right.
Actually, Jared, instead of us kind of rambling and trying to explain it, why don't you tell us about the QAnon theory? First of all, thank you for joining us, Jared Holt.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So what is QAnon? What the hell is this whole thing?
QAnon is this conspiracy theory that's sort of bubbled up on the internet that proclaims that the investigation into potential Russian meddling with the 2016 election, that investigation is actually a cover, and Robert Mueller is working for President Trump to take down a humongous satanic pedophile cult that involves like all kinds of politicians and technology industry leaders across the world.
Right. I mean, I think we all assumed that just reading between the lines, but
yeah, that's what this whole thing is about. So this is crazy because it's almost like addressing every fear like a right wing person or anyone who's a Trump supporter be like, oh, well, thank God for this. Like that almost relieves all their fears in that, like, actually, this investigation is about Obama and Clinton and Satan and pedophiles, and not Trump possibly working in coordination with Russian intelligence.
Right. So,
right. It's like it's this old conspiracy theory that's been around in America for decades, but now it is sort of being repurposed to dispel any fears that, you know, President Trump or people in his administration are going to get busted for meddling.
What is the older form of this conspiracy theory?
Yeah, I like QAnon, this whole phenomenon is just sort of the evolution of this conspiracy theory that kind of started in the 80s after this child named Johnny Ghosh disappeared. And as the investigation went on, this child's mother began claiming that he had been abducted by a pedophile ring and, like, eventually even testified about this before the Senate. And then that grew, like, super huge and got national attention because some other guy came forward and said that he had been abducted into the same sex ring and he actually helped kidnap little Johnny. And they accused all these, like, prominent figures in Nebraska, including, like, top-level U.S. politicians of operating this child prostitution ring. And conspiracy theorists in the nation, like, went crazy for it at that time. Eventually, the people who made those claims were indicted on perjury charges, but regardless, like, that happened 30 years ago, and something else that was also happening in the country at the same time was what became known as the Satanic Panic. There was this increased sort of bubbling up of occultism. You had the Manson murders that was tied to occultism. And at the same time, Christian fundamentalism was booming, which puts forward this idea that there are literal angels and literal demons, like, crawling the earth.
Mm-hmm. Or flying around the earth. I mean, they're not all crawling. Yeah.
My grandma says I'm an angel. Yeah. I'm 30, so that checks out.
Hovering, hosting podcasts.
Right,
exactly. Well, this is, to be clear, this is a demonic podcast.
Yeah,
so.
But this is actually, the whole 80s thing is a fascinating example of sort of false memories and something that we've discovered in the past 30 years, that the human memory is just incredibly malleable, and there's been all these experiments that prove that, you know, eyewitness testimony, for instance, is completely unreliable. You know, the Innocence Project proved that with, you know, exonerating all these people who are convicted because of eyewitness testimony based on DNA evidence. So it proves that, like, humans are really bad at remembering stuff. And these satanic panic stories also proved that you could actually make people believe these elaborate stories about, like, getting, you know, sacrificed and being part of some crazy ritual just by, you know, either hypnotizing them or just, like, you know, suggesting to them that those things happen to them.
Right.
Yeah. And it's like these, the whole, like, satanic panic conspiracy theories and the, like, global elites being involved in a pedophile ring conspiracy theories, just, like, both of those embody a part of American culture that, like, still to this day is sort of the, like, when we think of, like, some of the most evil shit you could ever do, it's, like, be a pedophile or, like,
and worship
kill
Satan.
People and worship Satan. So it's kind of natural that, like, these kind of merged into one bigger idea. And speaking to the false memories thing, the Department of Justice in 1992 actually came out and, like, tried to shut the book on this and be like, they are not satanic sex cults. This
yeah,
is
okay,
like crazy.
Deep state.
Like,
yeah, right.
Yeah. and, like, it sort of died down for about a decade. And then the internet happened. And then the people that grew up, like, believing this stuff and following this conspiracy theory got a high-speed internet connection, and now it's back. Now it's back on the internet,
right?
And but so this, you were telling me earlier that, like, this is not a very mainstream conspiracy theory. Like, this is, like, one of the more out there ones that has, like, you know, the traditional alt-right figures are even like, this is too crazy for them. What do you think the reasons for the people who are really sort of into this theory, like, what it is that they're, what are their hopes attached to this? Is that just to sort of feel like that they're they support a president that is completely above board, and it's actually Satan who's the evil doer.
Well, I mean, part of this, like, the modern rebirth of the whole QAnon thing sort of came out of Pizzagate, which was, like, this conspiracy theory was weaponized to try to damage the Clinton campaign and,
right.
like, make John Podesta and Hillary Clinton and everyone in that circle out to be, like, satanic pedophiles that no one should ever vote for. And then, like, I mean, I think a lot of people will remember how Pizzagate ended with that guy going
into to Comet Pizza.
Yeah, the restaurant they kept naming and firing off a few shots and
solving the problem for all of us, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Saving them,
scaring those
saving
pedophiles
those kids.
Back underground.
That guy got banned from ever eating pizza again.
That sucks.
Yeah.
The worst punishment of all.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, that was part of it. And it sort of like subdued for a little bit. And then it came back. And I think like ultimately these conspiracy theories, like, it's not about the theory. If these people were like really concerned about sex abuse and stuff, there's tons of stuff they could do on the local level. But
right.
I think sort of subconsciously, this serves to give some sort of explanation as to like wash away some part of reality that they don't want to adhere to.
Right.
Like the fact that our current presidential administration is under investigation for maybe like fucking around on this election.
Yeah.
By the deep state.
And so what do you think in terms of like Roseanne being like, you know, trying to be like, yo, Q, DM me, bro, like with the real shit. What does that say about, I think, her in terms of where she is on the spectrum in terms of like, sure, I think a lot of people are being like, well, it's fine if, you know, she supports Trump and her show is about trying to sort of, you know, paint people who support Donald Trump in a more realistic sense. But it seems like the fact that she's on board with this shit, it puts her sort of in a completely different category.
Yeah, no. I mean, the QAnon shit is like way, way out there. It exists like only in like the darkest, weirdest corners of the internet. And you kind of have to actively seek it out. But so Roseanne Barr, like, I guess she got turned on to this at some point, but now she has a national megaphone because her TV show got rebooted, and she's using that to like pump this crazy weird fringe shit into the mainstream. And apparently like Trump called her to congratulate ratings, and then she did that tweet about how he's like busting all the pedophile rings and stuff. And like going back to look at Pizzagate, like I feel like that sort of exemplifies why this is dangerous, because these ideas, like, they're bizarre and fringe and have like the most despicable consequences to them. And if you put that in the mind of somebody who's maybe like more vulnerable or is troubled in some way, when that gets validated from on up high, it's just like a formula for disaster. And she's sort of like, by using her status as a like mainstream public figure at this point, it's just setting this whole thing up for disaster, I'm afraid.
Right, because she's normalizing a very sort of disturbed way of thinking.
Right. All right. We're going to continue this conversation with reference to the coverage of yesterday's YouTube shooter. But first, we're going to take a quick break. And we're back. And so yesterday there was a active shooter on the YouTube campus in Northern California. It was one of those situations where, as the story was developing, we were getting updates on Twitter about, you know, facts that people on the ground knew that turned out to be completely false, that it was like a love triangle thing. I think that was started by CNN's like expert on something. And like the front page of Drudge Report is covering this to make it seem like the shooter, which was a woman for once, was this
for
like
right? Wow. When I heard about the active shooter, I was like, oh my god, like, who is it? It's like, it's a woman. I was like, oh, so she has got a reason.
For a second, you were like,
I was like instantly relieved.
Right. But so the way the right is responding to the shooter is You know, on the front page of Drudge, you see it covered as both, you know, portraying her as this like freaky deaky leftist who was into weird sexual stuff and PETA. Like the quote on the front page of Drudge is, "wants you to be sex slaves," which she actually like advocates for abstinence. So I don't see how that is.
Well, they took, I think, something out of context where she's like, the system wants you to be sex slaves or something right. like that. And they just put wants you to be sex slaves.
Right. To make it seem like she was into some weird leftist sexual thing. But no, she was actually pro-abstinence. But basically, her motives, it seems like, were actually based on YouTube. She thought that YouTube was, you know, demonetizing and hiding her channel from her audience and wasn't giving her good enough placement in search results, essentially, which is a complaint that you hear people...
From a lot of YouTubers.
Yeah, from a lot of YouTube users. And... incredibly, when you go to the Drudge Report, one of the top headlines basically agrees with her. It's like oppressive YouTube censorship policies spill over to violence. Right. So they're actually blaming YouTube policies for the shooter rather than being like, well, she was clearly disturbed. So, Jared, you were talking about, you wrote an article kind of covering the way this was covered on the right, because there was just a lot of misinformation throughout the day, right?
Yeah, and there's a lot of stuff just made up, like that whole PETA like animal rights activist thing. Like, I was kind of surprised. My girlfriend is vegan, and I had no idea she was like a radical leftist.
Right.
Right.
until I saw the right-wing coverage.
Well, the interesting thing is, like, even with the Drudge, like you're saying, how they're talking about, they bring up the censorship angle, right? And it seems like even when I was reading the post you wrote today, Jared, about it, like how they're sort of taking the censorship tack with this too. And they're being like, see what happens when you censor people? Like, they break and they start attacking. And like, they're using like the hashtag censorship kills, the sort of way to spin it. Like, is that a pretty popular tack that people have been taking with this?
I mean, it's kind of weird. Like, some people in right-wing media have really sort of stepped away from going on that angle, but a lot of them are really going into it, that, you know, really trying to prop up the fact that the shooter had uploaded videos on her channel being like super critical of YouTube's demonetization and like essentially like prioritization of videos that had any sort of controversial topic, which has been like a huge thing in conservative media for the last few months. But that was kind of weird to me because, you know, the Alex Joneses of the world have spent the last, especially couple months, really ramping up the rhetoric for that.
Right.
Being like, oh, if we're censored, this is life or fucking death or something, you know, and like claiming that tech companies want to like murder Christians and stuff.
Right.
It's crazy.
You would think they would just like bolt running away.
Yeah, from that storyline. But they're actually being like, yeah, this is what happens. That top story on Drudge Report links through to a PJ Media story where they talk about how she was motivated by censorship of her YouTube channel, and then talk about a Trump supporting woman whose channel was like hidden, they say, and just, yeah, connecting themselves to the complaints of a shooter. Like, rather than being like, wow, this has gotten way out of hand, they're just like kind of on board with it.
Yeah, and I think it's because like a lot of alternative media types, like the type of content creators that like will never be on Fox News or never be, you know, talking to Rush Limbaugh, all they have is a YouTube channel. The thought of like getting demonetized on YouTube is so, it's their livelihood,
yeah.
And I think what we're seeing is them getting incredibly desperate, because it takes a lot of mental gymnastics, as at least like from my perspective, to align yourself with a shooter and sort of, you know, issue this sort of dark, I don't want to say warning, but you know what I mean, where it's like,
well, they're just
insisting
insisting
like, this is what you get when you try to do this.
Right.
I mean, my own YouTube videos have you know, dozens of hits, and you know, I don't have many subscribers, but it makes me have a murderous bloodlust. So.
Right, and that's totally justified.
Yeah, totally.
And yeah,
totally.
I mean, your art is your life, and they're trying to take away your life, uh-huh. and therefore, no. But one thing that I actually agree with on the organization. By the way, when I say Drudge has this, Drudge just organizes different stories and then rewrites the headlines for them. So I'm not saying Drudge is writing these things. He's organizing the stories, but he has underneath like the top story claiming, you know, this is YouTube's doing and they had it coming. He has a story about how basically the two sides in America are more polarized than they've ever been. This is a claim by a physicist, which is something you hear a lot. But this physicist points out that we're consuming more news than we've ever consumed before, and we're getting more and more polarized. Like even now, we're getting more polarized than we were even like a couple months ago. And I think that really seems to be, I don't know, it seems like we've turned a corner. Like we were talking about the QAnon thing being fringe, but there was just a study that I talked about earlier this week where people ingested all of Twitter from 2006 to 2016 and looked at which stories traveled the most. And the stories that were lies traveled the best because they were wish fulfillment to people who, you know, wanted their beliefs confirmed. And I just think that as we get more polarized, the more we need fake stories to be true to confirm our beliefs. And yeah. So there's going to be this economy of fake news stories that just kind of bubbles up because
right.
that's what the sort of landscape demands. All right, Jared, is there anything else that you wanted to tell us about?
Yeah, I mean, in regard to this shooting at YouTube HQ, we were talking earlier about the QAnon conspiracy theories, and the thing about the QAnon conspiracy theories, it's like it always finds a way to web itself into whatever news story is happening that day. And this woman named Liz Crokin, she's like one of the people who like makes the YouTube circuit, being a so-called investigator of like satanic pedophile ring.
Mm-hmm.
She suggested that the shooting on YouTube was like some sort of QAnon MK Ultra tie-in. So,
oh my god. Cool.
Yeah.
The conspiracy theory is so malleable, you can map it onto anything.
So QAnon is not like a person, it's like a moniker or something.
Yeah, it's basically this guy came out and said, I am QAnon.
It's like a Banksy.
Yeah, he has a security level clearance Q, and he's anonymous, and he is this source who's like telling people all this information.
Yeah, and there's actually been some debate in the QAnon camp. It's starting to split because there's like one faction of QAnon researchers that think that Q originally like was legit and was a member of the, you know, the Trump administration, but mm-hmm. it's since been compromised by the deep state to be one big psyop. So
holy shit! Oh, so then that like QAnon is actually a game. Oh my
QAnon is deep state. Hell yeah, man!
It's like some Ready Player One bullshit,
yeah.
right?
All right, well, thank you so much, Jared Holt, for joining us. Can you tell people where to check you out and to see some of your work and the work that you do that we enjoy so much?
Yeah, yeah. You can always read my stuff on rightwingwatch.org. We've got Twitter and all that good stuff. I'm on Twitter at Jared L. Holt. Yeah.
Yeah, and check out Jared. He's does great retweets when people be trying to troll him.
Hashtag soy boy.
Yeah.
And I just want to say Trump is Snape.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you heard that. Yeah, Trump is Snape.
Trump is Snape.
We already knew.
Dang, Jared, you're cool. you might be the coolest Jared I know.
Nah, that's got to be Fogel. All right, man. Thank you so much for coming on.
Yeah, take care.
All right. See ya.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. And we're back. And so real quickly, we wanted to talk about a story that came across our iPhone alerts yesterday that I thought at first when I read the headline, I was like, oh, so it's over. The news is over.
Right.
It said that Mueller says Trump is not a criminal target of the probe. But apparently this doesn't really mean anything because he's still saying he's a subject. of the probe, so he's still a person of interest, and this might just be a ploy to get him to actually submit to an interview.
Yeah. Well, because the difference is a target, I guess, according to like DOJ guidelines, is someone that they have evidence that draws a clear connection to a criminal act. Whereas a subject is someone that is acting real shady and they believe they need to be looked into still. Yeah. So this is not good news for him either way.
I immediately went to right-wing media to be like, okay, so everybody's going to be freaking out about this and being like, aha, see, we knew it.
He's only
and
a subject,
nobody,
not a predicate.
Did that because I think they knew that if they did that, Trump would agree to the interview.
Right, exactly. And apparently in the reporting of the Washington Post, they were saying that he's really feeling good about the fact that he's not a target. And being like, oh, well, I should talk to, you know, Mueller to just dead this because I'm innocent. Mm-hmm. But this man has been gaslit by his own whiteness that he thinks you can still go into a legal like interview and just be like, nah, good, bad, blah, blah, just lie and shit. And you wouldn't be caught in some kind of, you know, obstruction of justice or whatever. But I think the thing to underline is that you can go from subject to Putin's fuck doll in like the span of one sentence very quickly. So despite wherever he is in terms of what he's categorized as, it's still not a good thing. So we'll see.
Trump responded that he is great at subjects. He's great at history and social studies, all the subjects.
It's like social studies is kind of history, my man. Yeah, all of it. I'm great. Math, arithmetic.
Math, gold.
Math, gold.
Business.
Deals. I have an A in deals. I was in AP deals. So I got a 4 on the test, actually. Should have got a 5. I was fucked.
So I'm going to take the streaming media recommendation of the week.
Okay.
Miles has nailed it the past couple weeks with Wild Wild Country and...
Go back to where you came from!
Yeah, people keep asking you what that was called. Just
Everybody
how can
on Twitter,
you forget that?
Yo, also, people on Twitter... When I go footnotes, that's not for fun, bro. We actually diligently have to put these links together, and Anna puts them all on the nice website so y'all can answer your own questions. And I'm starting to act like y'all don't really listen.
People are using us as Google. They're just like, hey, man, what was that thing?
I'm like, okay.
If you just searched Australian show about racism, like you would find it.
I mean, anyway, you'd find a lot of stuff.
Yeah. Actually, we can go down a rabbit hole in that.
Not accidentally racist Australian show.
Okay.
All right. So, Jack,
I watched King in the Wilderness last night, which is this HBO documentary about the last couple of years of
LeBron James. At the Cavaliers?
Right. Of Martin Luther King Jr.'s life.
Oh.
And it sort of debunks, you know, I think the version of Martin Luther King Jr. that people get is just the, you know, Freedom March and I Have a Dream, like white people, black people coming together and peacefulness, and that's it.
Right.
And so he had actually, in the last couple years of his life, had shifted his focus to, first of all, going north to Chicago and other northern cities where, you know, he and his team thought racism was actually worse. It was just kind of more hidden in the north. And they went to Chicago and sure enough, like, faced way more backlash from, you know, racist white people. There were straight up people with, like, Nazi signs, like, that coming out to meet them. Whereas the stuff you see in the south was the police and like the government officials out there. There were 10,000 racist white people out in Chicago just like basically throwing shit at them
and
like setting off bombs and shit. So that was just crazy as fuck. And they left Chicago basically being like, man, the North is basically hopeless. But I think it's easy to just be like, yeah, the South is stupid. So like they get to be the villain of the whole Martin Luther King Jr. story. And, you know, Chicago actually treated him worse than the South. It's pretty fucking crazy.
Well, it goes back to that thing even we were talking about yesterday with redlining of like as a lot of blacks move from the South into the North to get jobs, like the cities themselves did become more diverse, but the segregation was actually much deeper than even was in the South.
And more secretive and more effective.
And
because
or I guess overt in the sense they're like, yo, don't give black people loans or keep them out of these neighborhoods.
So the march that I'm talking about where tens of thousands of racist white people came out and threw rocks at he and his team, they were marching to a real estate office because they were protesting the practice of basically redlining and segregating people and only giving, you know, nice homes and nice neighborhoods to white people. And there's specifically a part where he basically summarizes what we were talking about yesterday. Like a white family will go in and they'll give them access to, you know, this neighborhood.
Yeah.
And then a black family will come in. They'll be like, no, we don't have anything. Sorry. And yeah. like that.
Well, history has been sanitized quite effectively.
Right. And that was a major focus in his final years. And that whole thing gets cut out of the whole storyline.
Yeah. And well, the other thing, too, is so today is the 50th anniversary of his passing. And a thing to really think about is kind of like what he was actually advocating for around this time of his life 50 years ago was that, yes, there was the Poor People's Campaign.
Right.
Where he was really just talking some dangerous shit, because before it was like, yo, people of color we need an equitable situation in this country. Exactly. We got there. Then he was like, all right, we need to bring up the people all over. Like, all poor people need to get together. So, I mean, if you just think about, like, this was in May of 67 as he was beginning this Poor People's Campaign, saying that, quote, I think it is necessary for us to realize that we have moved from the era of civil rights to the era of human rights. When we see that there must be a radical redistribution of economic and political power, then we see that for the last 12 years, we have been in a reform movement. That after Selma and the Voting Rights Bill, we've moved to a new era, which must be an era of revolution. In short, we have moved into an era where we are called upon to raise certain basic questions about the whole society. So this was very dangerous, because before it was easy to be like, okay, you're just trying to appeal to people of color who are being oppressed. Now he's getting the focus of like, hold on, you're talking about wealth and political power redistribution?
Yeah. He's like when a comedian does like a dramatic film. He's just like, wait, what are you doing?
Right. No, that's exactly right. The whole country turned against him. Yeah. Right. The whole country turned against him. His approval rating was like in the 30s when he died.
Right. And that's when a lot of civil rights leaders were getting offed. When the turn went to, how do we bring everybody into this conversation?
Right. So both him and Robert Kennedy were killed right at the same time. They had just announced that they were both going to tackle the problem of poverty. And there's a specific scene in the movie where Martin Luther King Jr. is talking to people he works with, and they're like, so wait, we're going to bring in the Native Americans? And he's like, are they poor? And they're like, yes. He's like, the Chicanos? Yeah. He's like, are they poor? Yes. The white people? He's like, are they poor? Yep. And so that is a lot of theories on why racism has been so emphatically and consistently promoted by, you know, powerful institutions in American history, is that it separates and disorganizes different types of poor people and makes it so that they hate each other instead of uniting and rising up against the very tiny percentage of rich and powerful people who, you know, have all the power and all the money. And, you know, the idea of all of those people coming together is the real threat. And I've always found both of their assassinations to be the ones that stand out as being the most suspicious and the least sort of investigated. Like, right. RFK's assassination is so weird. Martin Luther King Jr.'s assassination is so weird, even though, like, the guy that everybody just says, oh, he did it, none of the people in Martin Luther King Jr.'s family believe he did it. They all, like, say, no, he definitely didn't do it. It was part of a larger thing. The whole thing is just fucking bonkers, man.
But I think it just, again, underlines it. One thing you cannot debate is, as people's rhetoric became towards uniting all people and not just people of their ethnic group or social group, of being like, hold on, we are all being disenfranchised, we are all fucking suffering under this system, that's when they're like, oh, hold on, how the fuck, don't organize these people like that. And I think that's very something to really consider, is that, you know, we are really truly in this all together, and God, there's nothing scarier to the powers that be than united people.
I mean, I've said this many times before on many different podcasts, but I don't think our country is going to get better until we all band together and start killing rich people, taking them out in the streets, running their blood.
Yeah, I will drink their blood.
And why not? You know, top 1% of the 1%, just get rid of them, see what happens.
Yeah, well, and again, I think our system needs changing in general, clearly, because this shit is not working.
But I highly recommend watching this probably today if you can, because it is the anniversary of his death and it's pretty poignant to watch it around this time. But there's this one scene in this documentary where he talks about when poor people get support from the government, it's called welfare and like handouts. But when rich people get it, it's in the form of the government maintaining beautiful roads and building mm-hmm. beautiful communities and subsidizing their way of life and giving tax breaks to their business. And it was like he could be describing the modern world, and like
right
it
now,
could have
yeah.
been something that like you said on the podcast like 2 days ago. It was like, yeah. that is exactly right. But the only thing that seems outdated from the documentary is like these very specific things, like they use the term colored people instead of people of color. So it's like the stuff that we have.
If that throws you for a loop, then
right,
but I don't know what to tell you.
It's like the stuff that we've been focusing on are like these very specific like wording arrangements and stuff
right.
instead mm-hmm. of, and that's what's been updated and that's what seems outdated.
Interesting. Yeah.
Whereas the stuff that like just seems like it hasn't been touched at all is the, you know, northern racism and like the way that the poor are kept out of power.
Mm. Yeah.
So yeah, I highly, highly recommend. And that's gonna do it for today's episode, Brody. This has been a lot of fun, man.
Cool. Thanks for having me, you guys. I learned a lot. By the way, have you guys seen any of these like pictures that she used to post on Twitter where she had this like fake baby doll and she was like sort of like raising it? It was like this like weird
what?
Kind of like oh my, she would like post pictures of it like out with it and like pretend it was like a real thing. I feel like it's been scrubbed from the internet a little bit, or at least from her Twitter, but it's worth them diving into.
That's very strange.
Yeah, she's a weird lady. So and I just want to point that out.
I mean, I've seen people at the grocery store with the fake baby.
Uh-huh.
And that's a little off-putting. But hey, look, do what you got to do.
Do what you got to do. Also, some other known MLK Jr. facts that people won't tell you. He was super into anime, mm-hmm. and he loved hiking.
Yeah, he did.
Is that true?
No, none of those are true. The Roseanne thing is true.
Yeah.
Check out that baby doll thing.
Yeah, real dolls are super wild creepy.
I'm going to get one just to practice being a parent with.
Yeah.
Do you think that's good,
but
Jack?
I think they're
no.
made
no? All right, well.
Specifically for people who lose babies. And like,
yes.
It's just the
that's tragic.
Creepiest,
yes.
I don't want to explore the psychology of someone
so
who's
let's
holding.
Not.
But. I would rather pretend that it's a young person who's trying to audition having a child. Like yeah. back in the day when we used to carry around flower sacks.
Right. Am I right?
Am I right, Saved by the Bell watchers?
Did you have to do that, like, in your life?
When I was in high school, the seniors had to do it. But by the time I was a senior, they were like, dude, they're fucking either way.
Right.
So,
yeah.
Yeah, a bag of flour ain't going to change.
All right. Brody, where can people find you online?
You can follow me on Twitter at AOBroBro. And you can go to my website, brodyreed.com/videos. We've got some short films coming out this month, I hope. And, yeah, that's where I'm at.
Brody, R-E-E-D.
Uh-huh. B-R-O-D-I-E.
Uh-huh.
Are you?
Miles, where can people find you?
You can find me in St. Louis rolling on dubs.
Thanks. Shout out to the dude on Twitter who just gave me that idea
yeah.
just now. Where am I at? Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray.
You can find me at Jack_O'Brien on Twitter. We, as a podcast, are at Daily Zeitgeist on Twitter. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes.
Footnotes.
We link off to the information in today's episode. That's gonna do it for today. Miles, you've been playing some cool music around the office.
Oh,
what are we gonna ride out on today?
Oh man, let's just keep things calm, you know, because we're a little fired up. So let's just play this track called Calmer by Zoot Woman. Dope track, a little instrumental track. Just got like, you know, just soothing vibes. Soothing vibes, soothe yourself. It's hump day. We still got a few more days left. So just soothe yourself and be kind to each other. And please, you know, in the memory of Dr. King, please just fucking spread love, spread positivity. If you have a chance to do that, do that. It doesn't have to be as overt as you might see like some Hallmark commercial, but just try and contribute to an atmosphere of positivity at the very least.
And that's going to do it for today. We will be back tomorrow because it is a daily podcast. Talk to you guys then. We'll be right back.